That's a good song. It goes right along with the message too, because Paul is addressing the Colossians in Colossians chapter number 4. And he's talking about this matter of ministering, talking about living for Jesus. And, you know, if you knew your time was short on this earth, and you wanted to give final instructions or advice to loved ones, what is it that you would say? You know, that'd be the most difficult thing to do, wouldn't it? Say, well, you want to get the stuff that's priority, don't you? You want to deal with essential matters, not just incidental things. And as Paul finishes this book to the church at Colossae, he did so with certain admonitions, requests, and reminders. And we need to understand that Paul was in prison for the last time, and I believe that he knew that the end was near. Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so he was writing in the wisdom of God and for the glory of God. He wanted to leave this church with a few things that he viewed as essentials for life and ministry, something that would help them live for Jesus. And two of these he spells out, and the third he describes in this final benediction. And in these last 17 verses of Colossians, we're going to see three essentials for ministry that Paul shared with this church that also apply to each of us who are believers today. In our message last week, we went through Colossians 4 and verse number 1. Quite frankly, I believe verse number 1 should have been put up in at the end of chapter number 3. But we're going to pick up in verse number 2 because it relates to what we're talking about today. We did go through chapter 4, verse 1. Let's begin reading verse number 2 here. I just want to read three verses. Colossians 4, verse number 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So we see here the first essential that if we're to be successful in our Christian walk, if we're to be successful in our ministry to others, is we must pray. We must pray to God. If you remember, Paul began this letter by talking about his prayers. Remember, he told the Colossians that he was praying for them, and there were certain things that he was praying for them. I'm not going to take the time to turn back to chapter 1, but if you look at verses 3 and verse number 9, you'll see that he was praying for this church. And just as he was praying for this church, he was being an example to them of what they should be. They also needed to be praying for their church, and they needed to be praying for the Apostle Paul, and they needed to be praying for others, didn't they? Possibly nothing is more important than prayer in our lives as believers. One thing that you'll find in most any battlefield strategy, if you study the matter of war, or you read books about war, you'll see where the enemy tries to take out the communications. They try to disrupt and terminate communications between the opposing soldiers in the field and their command headquarters. Why is that? Because communication is so very essential in warfare. And listen, folks, we are in warfare, spiritual warfare. Never forget that we have entered spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, verse number 12, Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Prayer is our communication with God. It's the link between us as the soldiers of the cross and our commander-in-chief. with his unlimited firepower and with his strategic wisdom. I want us to see this morning in this passage, there are four aspects of prayer that Paul gives here in quick fashion. First of all, we must be content. We must be faithful in our praying. We must be faithful in our praying. He says, continue in prayer there in verse 2. Did you know that we're to live in a perpetual state of prayer? There are several places in the Bible that encourage us to pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is one of those places. It says, pray without ceasing. Another is Ephesians 6:18 that says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In Romans 12, in verse number 12, Paul told the Roman Christians they were to continue instant in prayer. Luke 18, in verse number 1, Jesus spake a parable to his disciples, and before he spoke the parable, he was telling them really what to get out of this parable. He told a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. They ought always pray. What does it mean to continue in prayer? Does it mean we must be whispering prayers to God at every moment? No, that's not what he's talking about. But we are to be ready to break into prayer at any time, in an instant. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. John R. Rice, and after his death, I heard a testimony about his prayer life. They would say that if you were in a meeting with Dr. John R. Rice and you went up and asked him to pray for something specific, he would break out in prayer right then and there. He wouldn't just say, I'll pray for you, but he would right then and there pray for the need that you had. I like what someone said about prayer when there was an earthquake that hit Los Angeles one time. These words were spoken by them. Said, you're instantly awake. You hold your breath and wonder how much of your house can take. What happens to your emotions is almost impossible to express. When that happens, it's good to be all prayed up, not to have to start from scratch. When that happens, it's good to know the one for whose hand you reach without needing to start with an introduction. You ever had some of those moments when you just had to break out in prayer and ask for the Lord's help? I want you to think of prayer as being like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And when you don't use it, atrophy sets in. It's awfully hard to get a muscle to work after atrophy sets in. We just lost my wife's mother. And it's been a number of years since she's been able to be mobile. But we struggled with her mobility. Try to get her to see, you need to stand up and get and walk around, because if you don't stand up and walk around, sooner or later you're not going to be able to stand up and walk around. And then it was toward the end, you need to get up and get out of the bed, because if you don't get up and get out of the bed, you won't eventually will not be able to get up and get out of the bed. Because if you don't use your muscles, you lose the ability to use the muscles. We must be faithful in our prayer, praying. We must not let atrophy set into our prayer life. Second thing I want us to see is we must be watchful in our praying. Notice again verse 2, continue in prayer, it says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch. We're admonished to watch in other places in Scripture. I read one there in Ephesians 6:18 a while ago, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching thereunto. In the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah chapter number 4, the Bible records that the people of God were busy rebuilding the walls that had been broken down in Jerusalem. That's what the whole book of Nehemiah is about. rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. And as they did so, their enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, they didn't like what was going on. They didn't like what was happening, and so they conspired to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder the work. But listen to what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:9. He says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch." They prayed and they watched. He said, "We made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night." That's how they finished the wall. Jesus said to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, verse 41, He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But we know that Jesus came back on three occasions and found His disciples fast asleep. They weren't watching. They weren't praying. In Matthew 13, verse 25, Jesus told the parable of the tares, saying, "But while men slept, His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." See, these servants were to be watchful. While they weren't watchful, the enemy did what they should not have been able to do had they been watchful. We must be watchful or on alert in our prayer life. You think about a war zone. Do you think a sentry would be more watchful at a National Guard armory here or over in a war zone? You can be more watchful where a war is going on, aren't you? I think why we don't see a lot of Christians that are being watchful in their lives is they don't understand that we are at war, spiritual war. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, Peter admonished those that he was writing to and us. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour." That being sober and vigilant is being watchful. We must be faithful in our praying. We must be watchful in our praying. The third thing we see here is we must be thankful in our praying. Again, verse 2. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." You know that thanksgiving is a recurring theme in this book. 6 times in this very short letter. It's not a very big book at all. We have seen that Paul stressed the matter of giving thanks. He talked about how he gave thanks for the Colossians and how gave thanks for how God was working in their hearts and lives. And he encouraged them to give thanks in different things. Look at chapter 1, verse number 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Who he's talking about, we? He's talking, well, Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy prayed. I can just see them gathering together and say, "Hey, you know, we need to pray for our brothers in Colossae. Let's pray for them right now." And he would pray and give thanks for how God was working their life. Look at verse 12. "So giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." we need to thank the Lord, don't we? Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So we're to abound in our faith and pray with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Look at verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then here in verse number 2 of chapter 4, he tells them to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You notice how little most prayers involve thanksgiving? Unfortunately, we tend to overlook the many ways that God has blessed us sometimes. Did you know that our being thankful in prayer will often take away from our tendency to pray selfishly? When you begin to thank God for what He has done, you realize just how truly blessed that you are. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we must be faithful in our praying. We must be watchful in our praying. We must be thankful in our praying. Then I want you to see there in verse number 3, he says, "With all, praying also for us." I want you to say we must be purposeful in our praying. Again, read verse 3 and 4 with me. "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance." He's talking about he and Timothy. That God would use them, open a door for them to speak the mystery of Christ, he says here, "which I am also in bonds, that I may speak it manifest as I ought to speak." I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, it says. You know, the word "with all" there means at the same time. Okay? You're to continue in prayer, you're to watch in prayer, and you be thankful. But at the same time, we're to pray for others, aren't we? Too often our prayers are too vague, too general. Pray, "Lord, bless all the missionaries." You know, one of the reasons we take time on Wednesday night to read the prayer letters from our missionaries is so that we can know more about them and know how to pray. We summarize those on the prayer list so that you can know how to pray, because it's better to know our missionaries personally as much as we can and pray for specific needs that they have rather than just say, "Lord, please bless our missionaries." I've never met a missionary who didn't desire our prayers as much, if not more, than our financial support. Listen, prayer is an absolute essential in our personal lives as well as in our church. But listen, there are some hindrances to prayer that we need to be aware of. Hindrances that will block our ability to get our prayers through where they will be effective. First thing that will hinder our prayer life is sin. Sin will hinder our prayer life. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The Israelites, the Jews, had their prayers hindered by sin. They had chose to walk in disobedience, and that disobedience was costing them the ability to have their prayers heard and answered by God. The psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And of course, we know, we've been taking a look at what sin did in the life of David. We've been studying that in 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, on our Wednesday night studies. And when he had iniquity in his heart, it blocked his prayer life, didn't it? He was unable to go to God. And we hear the agony of that in what he wrote in his confessional Psalm 51. But listen, in order to have our prayers heard and answered, first of all, we've got to be saved. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life, don't expect God to hear your prayers. I mean, yes, He hears them, but don't expect an answer. Because we need to have a right relationship with Him, a spiritual life in our own heart and life, in order to have the ability for God to hear us. Salvation is essential, but staying right with God is essential too. If we're walking in disobedience, don't expect for God to hear and answer our prayer. That's why it's so important, and I say this over and over again, so important to keep short accounts with God. Because when we sin, and it blocks our prayer life, and we just let it continue to go on and on and on, it widens the gap between us and God. It's harder to get back. The farther you get away from God, the harder it is for you to make your way back to Him. So when you step outside of obedience to God, make sure that you get back right with Him. So sin will hinder our prayer life. Second thing is our selfish purposes will hinder our prayer life. Here, Paul is asking for these Colossian Christians to be praying for him and Timothy, with all praying also for us. And he was not selfish, and he was trying to teach them not to be selfish in their prayers. They probably had plenty on their prayer list about things in their own life, but he wanted to wake them up to see, hey, look outside of yourselves. James 4, verse 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." What we need is we need to have God's purpose or purposes in our prayer life. What is it that God would have us to pray for? When we come together, you know, I've heard criticism sometimes, as, you know, folks say, well, you know, I think we need to be praying more on Wednesday night. We need to have more than just one person praying. Well, why aren't you praying on Wednesday night? We're to be praying together. As I lead in prayer, you know, you're to be praying in your heart. You'd be praying and joining me in our prayers for the same thing, agreeing one with another. Where two or three are gathered in my midst, two or three gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. We gather together. We pray in agreement. The Lord hears and answers our prayer. But if our selfish purposes take us where our mind is wandering and we're thinking about the things that are going on in our lives, we're thinking about the things that we're going to be doing while this other person is speaking these words, and you may even fall asleep while somebody else is praying. I've had people snore while we pray. Not here in our church, but the last church that I was at had a man sitting down front. We were praying. He just fell asleep, started snoring. Obviously, his mind was not engaged with what we were praying. Have God's purpose or purposes in your prayer life, because that is essential. Selfish purposes will hinder our prayer life. Then last of all, I want you to see that idols in our heart will hinder our prayer life. What's an idol of the heart? Anything that comes before God. Anything. Whatever comes before God, that becomes an idol. Ezekiel 14, verse 3, Ezekiel was told the Son of Man, "These men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" Listen, having God as not only our central focus, but as our only focus in our prayer life is essential. Our focus ought not to be on us. Our focus ought to be on Him. Idols in our heart will hinder our prayer life. I wonder this morning, how's your prayer life? Do you have a prayer life? Do you take time to pray? Maybe one of the reasons why that you have the trouble that you have in your Christian walk is because you don't take time to pray. None of us can make it on our own. We need to take time to look to God for our help. We need to pray one for another. You know, there's a great number of needs in our church. We have some people that have some great needs. People that are going through some things that are that are burdening them down in a heavy way. Some of those things are physical needs. Some people have some serious illnesses that are in here. And it's by God's grace they're able to be here this morning. And I thank God for them coming. But do they have your prayers? Do they have our prayers as a church? We're to pray one for another. There's some folks that are carrying heavy spiritual burden here this morning. Some of you have some folks in your family that need God. And you're praying that they'll come to know the Lord. And we're to be joining together with you in that prayer that they would come to God. Let's join together. When we come together as a church, let's be concerned one for another to find out what's going on in folks' lives so that we can pray for them. Not so that we can talk about them. Not so that we can better know how to gossip, but so that we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know this brother or sister got this going on in their life and they sure could use your help. Pray for the needs of one another. It's an essential in ministry. If we're going to be a minister as a church, the way we should minister, it's going to take prayer. It's going to take a right prayer life. That's what Paul was pointing out to the Colossian Christians. If you're going to minister as a church, the way you ought to minister as a church, you need to continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the avenue that you've given to us of prayer. Lord, we're blessed that we have access to your throne. Before we were saved, we had no spiritual life. We had no way to come into your presence. But now, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, we have salvation, we have spiritual life, and we have access to your throne. And Lord, thank you for that access. But it's not very good to have access to a throne and not put it to use. To be able to have an audience with the king and tell the king our problems and not put it to use. Lord, help us to see this asset that we have of prayer as one of the most important assets that we have as a church, as believers. Lord, help us to get more serious about this matter of prayer and praying not just general prayers, but praying specific prayers, caring enough to get involved in folks' life, to know what's happening, to know their prayer needs, so that we can pray the way that would be pleasing to you, in a way that would be effective in our ministry to others. Lord, if there's one here this morning that maybe their prayer life is hindered because they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they will come in this invitation time and receive you so that they can have that access to your throne. Lord, help us now in this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll play a hymn of invitation with heads bowed and eyes closed. As the music plays, we invite you to come. If you need to come to the altar's open. If you need the Lord, you come see me.